Thank you, Joyce. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I receive this command from my Father." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a little bit of a problem because I don't know sheep that well. I've never really been around sheep. Never really been around shepherding too much. Growing up, my sister showed pigs with 4-H, and I think she knew somebody that had Scottish Highland cows. There were some of the kids in North Carolina that had an uncle that raised sheep, but that was really, I'm not familiar with sheep. And so, you know, talking about other animals, I could talk all day. I know dogs. I know what dogs do. I'm a little bit familiar with cats. They're not my favorite. I would classify myself as a dog person. You know, other animals, wild and domestic, little kids, I know them. They're like wild animals sometimes. So I'm just not familiar with sheep. Not very close at all. I think the most I've ever personally been involved with sheep was at the ag farm at our middle school. My mom taught, and she was a sixth grade science and English teacher, and she was in a portable out by the ag farm. And so we would, after school, would go hang out over there, and we could see the animals and the critters and everything. And I actually got to see a lamb being born. That was a sight to see. The lamb, it was partly because the lamb was breached. And so then as like a 10 or 11-year-old kid, this lady's arm just completely disappeared to turn that little lamb back around. And I was not prepared for that. I didn't know what to make of it. And so some sheep are almost a little traumatic for me. So I don't know sheep. Many of you may not know sheep as well. So when we're trying to talk about Jesus as a shepherd and comparing the flock to sheep, we don't have the background and the foundation that many of the gospel readers' original audience would have known, whose Jesus' audience would have known. Now, just because we don't know actual sheep doesn't mean we don't ever use the word sheep. The term sheep actually gets thrown around fairly a lot these days. I don't like to speak in absolutes, so I use a little bit broader. Generally, when people say sheep, sheeple, that's usually a person of a particular political persuasion, and they're not usually being nice about it, right? I think it's fair to say if somebody calls you a sheep or sheeple in the context of a political conversation, they're not trying to pay you a compliment, right? Is that accurate? And so even though we don't know sheep, we talk about sheep and sheeple in this sort of negative term. And so when we hear it in Scripture on Sunday, and I think that's sort of a negative thing, because comparing the people of faith to sheep and God's leaders being shepherds goes way back in our Scriptures. It's one of the oldest metaphors and ideas that we have about how to be faithful people. And it really resonates with, I think, what is a common human experience. When we are alone, an individual, we are vulnerable. And it's a dangerous time to be away from your community of faith. It's a dangerous time where bad things can happen if you're apart from God, if you're apart from your family, if you're out alone in the wilderness and you don't have the support of your flock or those that are leading you. It's a very dangerous time and a dangerous place. And so this idea of God being our ultimate shepherd, as the leaders that God sends, being the shepherds that watch over us and keep us safe, feed us, keep us warm, keep us sheltered from the elements. And then the dedication that comes from that, right? Sheep, so all to say that I don't know sheep. Everything I'm going to say about sheep, I've heard from other people. So if you disagree with it, take it up with them. But I'm still going to, you know, share my understanding. So sheep are apparently very trusting, right? If they are alone, it's a dangerous time for them. And so to be together in the flock where they have the security of their numbers, and if there's a good shepherd, if there's a shepherd that's taking care of them and doing what needs to be done, they will be very content and very happy. And the shepherd, with a shepherd of sheep, unlike cattle, we have cattle drives, right? Cattle can be pushed. You can holler and crack whips and scream and cows will go where you want them to go. Apparently, when shepherds lead sheep, they lead them. If you get behind sheep and start hollering and screaming and yelling, they're going to scatter. But if the sheep know their shepherd, they recognize this as a person that is taking care of them, feeding them, providing for their needs, keeping them safe from predators, they trust this person and they will follow them just by the sound of their voice. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. They've lived with them. They've been there with them constantly. And so the sheep are familiar and they will follow the shepherd. What a great image for Jesus. What a great image for us as believers and followers of Jesus. This idea that Jesus is with us, living with us as a shepherd out in the fields, in the dirtiness and the dangerousness. Jesus is right here with us in the midst of our lives and all the garbage that we live with, all the dangerous times and the things that are beating upon us, the dangerous elements of our lives that threaten to tear us down. And yet here's Jesus living with us, walking with us, being among us. And so then when Jesus goes, we follow. Not because we're afraid that we know better, but because Jesus has been there, watched over us, provided for us, kept us safe, been constantly by our side. And so where he goes, we follow. Because he's watched over us and kept us safe. Now, in Sunday school, we kind of talked about, you know, a lot of the scriptures, we have this bad issue of trying to put ourselves in the scripture. What does this say about me? And, you know, I'm the pastor, the shepherd. I don't want to be a bad one, right? We always wonder where we fit into the scriptures. And I told them I was going to skirt all that. Because this is a scripture where if we're trying to put ourselves in it, what does it say about me? If that's our primary focus, we're going to miss the mark. Because this scripture isn't about us. It's not about the sheep. It's not titled the good sheep, the model sheep. It's the good shepherd. This is a scripture about Jesus, who Jesus is, how Jesus relates to his flock. And just as all the things that we've talked about, he watches over the flock. He goes and brings them in when they're scattered. He feeds them. He takes care of them. And the sheep know his name. There's this little bit about other sheep. We like to be part of being in a collective, in a group, is that it can be dangerous to welcome outsiders in. We know each other. We know where each other's buttons are. We know how to ruffle each other's feathers, But we love each other. We take care of each other. We know what to expect from one another. And so when there are outsiders that come in, we don't know. Are they going to get our jokes? Are they going to think differently? Are they going to want to move something around? How dare they? They better not. And so inviting outsiders in is always this dangerous, scary thing. But the shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, makes it clear that there are other sheep out there that do not belong to our flock. And just like us, those sheep in that flock know his voice. And he will go out and get them and bring them together. And there will be one flock, one fold, all together. So if we belong in the scripture anywhere, it's at this point. Recognizing that when others come into our communities of faith and our general communities, that we welcome them in, trusting that like us, they recognize Jesus as the good shepherd and hear his voice. Finally, the last bit of this scripture that is so important is about Jesus' death. In the Gospel of John, more than any of the others, Jesus is always in control. Jesus doesn't react. He's the one that is going out and having these deep conversations with people. And he makes it clear in the scripture that his death wasn't some accident, that it wasn't taken away from him, that he lays down his life because he can. And he could lift it back up again if he so chooses. But as the good shepherd, he chooses to lay down his life for his flock and his fold. This is a deep, deep, powerful message about who Jesus is and why he is eventually killed. His life is not taken from him, but he lays it down freely like a good shepherd. And so, I've never eaten a lamb. It might be a little weird after this. But next time you're thinking about sheep and you're seeing sheep or you hear somebody try to get under your skin by calling you sheep, I just like to laugh at. It's like a water off a duck's back. Say what you want. This understanding of being a sheep, trusting so deeply in who Jesus is, listening to his voice and following where he leads. Not too bad. Because Jesus, as the good shepherd, watches over and takes care of those who know his voice and are in his flock. Amen.